The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams become reality.
Welcome to Dream Realm Enterprises Horror Anthology Series, Tales from a Dark Realm. This episode is titled The Works of Edgar Allan Poe, Volume 3. We will have four featured readings tonight, the first of which is titled The Haunted Palace, which is read by yours truly, Paul Arbisi. In the greenest of our valleys, by good angels tenanted, once a fair and stately palace, snow-white palace, reared its head. In the monarch's thoughts dominion, it stood there. Never seraphim spread his pinion over a fabric half so fair. Banners yellow, glorious, golden, on its roof did float and flow. This, all this, was in the olden time, long ago. And every gentle air that dallied, in that sweet day, along the rampart plumed and pallid, a winged odor went away. All wanderers in that happy valley, through two luminous windows saw spirits moving musically to a lute's well-tuned law. Round about a throne were sitting, in state his glory well befitting, the sovereign of the realm was seen. And all with pearl and ruby glowing was the fair palace door, through which came flowing, 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 and sparkling evermore. A troop of echoes whose sweet duty was but to sing in voices of surpassing beauty the wit and wisdom of their king. But evil things in robes of sorrow assailed the monarch's high estate. Ah, let us mourn, for never morrow shall dawn upon him desolate. And round about his home the glory that blushed and bloomed is a dim remembered story of the old time entombed. The travelers now within that valley, through the red-litten windows, seen vast forms that move fantastically to a discordant melody, while, like a rapid ghastly river through the pale door, a hideous throng rush out forever, and laugh, but smile no more. Edgar Allan Poe, originally published in 1839.
Next, we have a reading of The Raven, performed by Jerry Kokich.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. "'Only this?" Nothing more. Ah, distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is, I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you." Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore." Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched above a bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore, "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," said I, "art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore? Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door. Bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door with such name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther then he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore." But the raven still beguiling all my fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking, "Nevermore." This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing, to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining, on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim who whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. "Wretch," I cried, "thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee, respite, respite and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, O quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent, or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate, yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend," I shrieked upstarting, "get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
And now, here is a reading of Poe's Valley of Unrest.
The Valley of Unrest, read by Sally Wiggett. Far away, far away, far away. As far, at least, lies that valley as the day, down within the golden east. All things lovely, are not they far away? Far away. It is called the Valley Nis. An Assyriac tale there is thereabout, which time hath said shall not be interpreted. Something about Satan's dart, something about angel wings, much about a broken heart, all about unhappy things. But the Valley Nis at best means the Valley of Unrest. Once it smiled a silent dell where the people did not dwell, having gone unto the wars. And the sly, mysterious stars, with a visage full of meaning, or the unguarded flowers were leaning, or the sun ray dripped all red through the tulips overhead, then grew paler as it fell on the quiet asphodel. Now the unhappy shall confess nothing there is motionless. Helen, like thy human eye, there the uneasy violets lie. There the reedy grass doth wave over the old forgotten grave. One by one from the treetop, there the eternal dews do drop. There the vague and dreamy trees do roll like seas in northern breeze across the stormy Hebrides. There the gorgeous clouds do fly, rustling everlastingly through the terror-stricken sky, rolling like a waterfall o'er the horizon's fiery wall. There the moon does shine by night with a most unsteady light. There the sun doth reel by day over the hills and far away. Edgar Allan Poe, originally published in 1831.
And now we present our final reading for tonight, The Lighthouse
The Lighthouse, read by Kareem Cronfley. January 1st, 1796. This day, my first on the lighthouse, I make this entry in my diary as agreed on with de Groot. As regular as I can keep the journal, I will, but there is no telling what may happen to a man all alone as I am. I may get sick, or worse. So far, well. The cutter had a narrow escape, but why dwell on that, since I am here all safe? My spirits are beginning to revive already at the mere thought of being, for once in my life at least, thoroughly alone. For, of course, Neptune, large as he is not to be taken into consideration as society. Would to heaven I had ever found in society one half as much baser than this poor dog. In such case, I and society might never have parted, even for the year. What most surprises me is the difficulty de Groot had in getting me the appointment, and I a noble of the realm. It could not be that the consistory had any doubt of my ability to manage the light. One man had attended it before now, and got on quite as well as the three that are usually put in. The duty is a mere nothing, and the printed instructions are as plain as possible. It never would have done to let Orndorff accompany me. I never should have made any way with my book as long as he was within reach of me, with his intolerable gossip and not to mention that everlasting meerschaum. Besides, I wish to be alone. It is strange that I never observed until this moment how dreary a sound that word has. Alone. I could half fancy that there was some peculiarity in the echo of these cylindrical walls, but oh no. This is all nonsense. I do believe I'm going to get nervous about my insulation. That will never do. I have not forgotten de Groot's prophecy. Now for a scramble to the lantern and a good look around to see what I can see. To see what I can see, indeed. Not very much. The swell is subsiding a little, I think. But the cutter will have a rough passage home, nevertheless. She will hardly get within sight of the Norland before noon tomorrow, and yet it can hardly be more than 190 or 200 miles. January 2nd. I have passed this day in a species of ecstasy that I find it impossible to describe. My passion for solitude could scarcely have been more thoroughly gratified. I do not say satisfied, for I believe I should never be satiated with such delights as I have experienced today. The wind lulled about daybreak, and by the afternoon the sea had gone down materially. Nothing to be seen with the telescope even, but ocean and sky with an occasional gull. January 3rd. A dead calm all day. Towards evening the sea looked very much like glass. A few seaweeds came in sight, but besides them absolutely nothing all day. Not even the slightest speck of cloud. Occupied myself in exploring the lighthouse. It is a very lofty one, as I find to my cost when I have to ascend its interminable stairs. Not quite 160 feet, I should say, from a low water mark to the top of a lantern. From the bottom inside the shaft, however, the distance to the summit is 180 feet at least. Thus the floor is 20 feet below the surface of the sea, even at low tide. It seems to me that the hollow interior at the bottom should have been filled in with solid masonry. Undoubtedly the hole would have been thus rendered more safe. But what am I thinking about? A structure such as this is safe enough under any circumstances. I should feel myself secure in it during the fiercest hurricane that ever raged, and yet I have heard seamen say occasionally, with a wind at southwest, that the sea has been known to run higher here than anywhere, with the single exception of the Resnant opening the Straits of Magellan. No mere sea, though, could accomplish anything with this solid, iron-riveted wall, which at 50 feet from the high water mark is 4 feet thick, if 1 inch. The basis on which the structure rests seems to me to be chalk. January 4th. Manuscript ends here. Edgar Allan Poe, thought to be written in 1849.
You have been listening to Dream Realm Enterprises' horror anthology series, Tales from a Dark Realm, which was presented by Paul Arbisi. Tonight's episode was titled The Readings of Edgar Allan Poe. Volume 3. The featured tales this week were The Haunted Palace, read by Paul Arbisi; The Raven, performed by Jerry Kokich; Valley of Unrest, read by Sally Wiggett; and The Lighthouse, read by Karam Cronfley. The post-production editor, sound designer, director, and producer for tonight's episode was Jonathan Patrick Russell. The music heard in this program was provided by Kevin McLeod. Join us again soon for another chilling episode.
This program is copyright 2023, all rights reserved, and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises, always warping to new dimensions.